Sorry, boys and girls, no Jopey cast this week. He's only joking. Here you go. JOPEY.com. Welcome to my squeaky little voice. Howdy, folks, and welcome. This is episode 9 of the Jopey cast for the week of February 27th. 2006. Double digits next week. Exciting! I'm your host, Joe Jopey Fitzpatrick. The Jopey Cast is a weekly podcast that looks at the local music scene of Western Massachusetts. My guest this week is another dear friend of mine, John Coco Cocozina. Coco will be here and he'll share with us his exploration of Indian rhythms. Say after me. Taki taki ta taki taki ta taki taki ta taki taki ta. We'll explain later. In the Jopey Out and About segment, I'll share with you my gigs and shows I got out to see this past week. I'll rave or rant, and I'll pick out a few shows coming up that you don't want to miss. And of course, there's the cool internet site of the week to check out. But first, in the news. Super cheap blank media at Circuit City. $6.99 for a Philips 50-pack of CDRs, or a 25-pack of DVD plus or dash DVDs. That's a 66% savings. I like saving 66%. That's at Circuit City. Also, all you Yankee Candle fans out there, I discovered the discount warehouse this past week. Oh my gosh. I spent $100 at Yankee Candle, but darn it all, it smells good in here. Check out Yankee Candle. And if you're hearing some jingle jangles in the back, I have a couple cats that are just absolutely going stir crazy with the cold weather and being locked up inside. So excuse the little jingle jangles. Okay, in the Jopey Out and About this week, I got to do my first gig with Chris Piquette. Very, very cool. I absolutely love the set list. A couple of Steely Dan tunes, Tower of Power, Stevie Ray Vaughan, and his originals are funky and well rehearsed. It was a blast. On Friday, I saw Bathtub Mary with drummer from the Patio Kings Sturgis sitting in on the tubs. Very cool, I have to say. The last bathtub show I saw at Bishop's, not so much. This one, I definitely felt it. Very nice. And then on Saturday, I was introduced to the drumming of Nikki Glaspie. The band also had keyboardist Amy Bowles, bassist Aaron Bellamy, and of course, Sam Kinniger on sax. It was the Sam Kinniger band. But it was the undeniable groove of Nikki's performance that just had me entranced. I should have known when I first got there and saw a former student of mine, David Bisson. He looked over at me and said, "Have you seen Nikki play before?" And I said, "No," not knowing what to expect. And he just sort of giggled. I knew I was in for a treat. She wasn't just dropping bombs every 16 bars. It was more like every other measure. But she got so back in the pocket, it never felt like she was overplaying. Where if I tried to pull off something like that, it would be a complete sloppy mess, man. And she's also just got great on-stage style. I just loved it. They will be back in town Saturday, March 18th, again at Bishop's. I know I will be there. Oh, and I just found some very cool free live MP3s of the band at archive.org. I'll leave links to both the band's website and the live recordings page. You know where. JOPEY.com. Sorry to get right back to ranting, but what's up with the danger traffic patterns? Am I the only one that can't see the logic in the way they designed a particular traffic pattern? Case in point, the end of Route 291 where it dumps you on to 91 South right in Springfield. There is a white solid line, people, That means do not cross. But many do to try and catch that very first exit, the Memorial Bridge exit. But you have to cross over 3 lanes of traffic in just a very short distance of highway. Not to mention, you're merging on from a big curvy on-ramp while traffic is going full speed ahead on the highway you're entering. There should be a barrier of some sort, like those little skinny poles, or maybe something that will give you a flat tire. I don't care. I get so ticked off when people put my life in danger because they don't want to go up to the next exit and backtrack a bit. And here's one that just seems like a mean practical joke. Route 202 South, Holyoke. Right after the rotary, the left turn at the Stop and Shop, at the top of the hill, it's one way, 2 lanes. As you go through the light, just beyond the light, there's signs on both sides of the road showing the left lane ending on the left and the right lane ending on the right. Huh? Then who the freak has the right of way? Shouldn't all the lanes then just disappear? Will someone pick one lane to be in charge? Oh, I have more. Like the parking lots that make their spaces too small? Or public school parking lots with their buses only signs that no one seems to see? Oh, you get what I mean. But I really do hate that one at the end of 291. I wish I knew who to contact about something like that. If you've got any ideas, send them my way. You know where to go. JOPEY.com and click email me. Let me know who I should contact. A senator? I really think that should be dealt with. Okay, rant done. It's time for the cool internet site of the week. This week's site is pure visual stimulation. Liquid Sculpture. Liquid Sculpture is the art of photographer Martin Waugh. Martin photographs liquids at very high speeds and captures amazing detail and beauty. You can even order prints and licensing right online. It's mesmerizing. The kind of art that does what it's supposed to do, completely encompass me. There's a slideshow feature right on his website, and you know where to find the links. JOPEY.com. You're listening to the rhythmic sounds of John Cocozina. John Cocozina has been a drummer in the area forever. He's played with people like Janet Ryan, John Sheldon. Who else you've played with, John?
Oh, Susan Angeletti, the O-Tones, Stuart James. Years ago, I used to play in the Cobble Mountain Band, the Contenders with Jeff Potter, and a band that we both played in, Joe, the Hometown Heroes at the famous Villa Rose in Windsor Locks, Connecticut.
You know, John, I think you gave me one of my very first all-time subbing gigs at the Villa Rose restaurant. Memories, memories.
Yeah, that was when we were going to Westfield State College.
That's right.
And that is how we kind of made some extra bucks and paid part of our college bills, because that was one of the better paying gigs around, as far as I remember.
It sure was, and it was nice and close to my parents' house. It was a great, great gig back in the day.
It was a beautiful thing.
All right. Well, the intro included you playing some Indian rhythms, and I'm just curious what led you in that direction.
Actually, Bob Weiner got me going on this stuff, and I've taken it to, I don't want to say a different level, but I'm just trying different things with it, with a combination of things I've learned off a couple of videos that we both seen, the Dave Weckl video and the Steve Smith video. And I've also taken one of the famous drum books, the Stick Control book, and tried to apply a little bit of that to it. And so I'm kind of coming up with my own thing regarding the Indian stuff. And, you know, I'm not saying it's right or wrong or whatever. It's just kind of what I'm doing.
And is there something you can present to us as far as, you know, getting our feet in the water? Where would we start with something like this?
Well, since we're Western players, traditionally we obviously don't play Indian music. So I would start with a basic Western groove and try to apply the Indian rhythm to that groove and see how it works out.
And can you present a beginning Indian rhythm that we can maybe practice?
Yeah, first of all, before we even do that, we should talk about how Indians interpret rhythm and how they speak of rhythm.
Great.
And they don't count 1-iana, 2-iana, 3-iana, 4-iana. They have a counting method called the conical, and they actually sing the rhythms in symbols. And the symbol, I'll give you the example of the symbols right from 2 through 9. How's that sound?
That sounds perfect.
The symbol for 2 is taka. The symbol for 3 is takita. The symbol for 4, takadimi. 5 is taka takita. 6 is takita takita. 7 is takadimi takita. 8 is takadimi, 8 is one that I don't like, but I'm gonna put it in my own words. Takadimi takadimi. And 9 is takadimi takatakita.
Wow. And how long did it take you to sort of absorb those rhythms?
Actually, it does take a little bit of while. It takes a while because you're just not used to this stuff. And you got to spend a little time with it and learn how to sing the rhythms and know that, say, for example, the 3 is takita and the 5 is takatakita.
And we're going to try and find something on the web that we can point people to so that they can check that out and do a little practicing on their own.
Yeah, I'm sure you won't have any trouble finding the stuff on the web.
Excellent. All right, so once we've discovered those that way of counting and that way of thinking about rhythms, where would you go with it next?
Like I said earlier, I'd start with a basic Western groove, and I think our first example is going to demonstrate that.
Okay.
It's a simple example of playing 16th notes hand-to-hand on the snare. A basic bass drum hi-hat rhythm, a Latin hi-hat bass drum rhythm. And within that, we're going to accent the, we're going to use the 5 today.
Okay.
It's the taka-taki-ta, and we're going to accent the 2 tas, the first 2 tas. Indians base their rhythms in groups. For example, the 5 will be a 2 and a 3. 7 is a 4 and a 3, or you can interchange them to a 3 and a 2 or a 3 and a 4, whatever.
Okay.
But today we're going to use the 2 and a 3, and the first example will demonstrate that on the snare drum. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Being a drummer myself, I have to ask, how long did it take you to get that one rhythm together?
It took a while, Joe, but, you know, it's all in how much time you really want to spend with it.
It's
just like anything else. You spend a little time with it, you'll get it. It's no big deal.
I have to say, I wish I practiced the amount that you practice, because I know you're very diligent about your practice.
Yeah, that's because I go out and I see you play.
It has nothing to do with it. Getting back to the topic.
Okay.
So once you've done this, where would you take this next?
Actually, same thing. Same bass drum, hi-hat combination, same snare drum, but we'll add different sound sources, mainly the toms.
1B.
2, 3, 4. Okay, Joe, so there you had the first two examples. Example 3, we're going to stick with the same snare pattern, and all we're going to do is change the bass drum hi-hat a little bit. We're going to play 2 on the bass drum, 1 on the hi-hat in 16ths, accenting the Taka Takita, the first two tas of the Indian rhythm on the snare drum.
Yeah, and you say that this is easy. This pattern, this two bass drum, one hi-hat pattern kills me. That's really in three.
It is, but it's still 16ths. Just play it a different way.
Okay.
And I could go on and on about this stuff, but I think we better get going.
Okay. Example three with the new bass drum hi-hat pattern.
One, two, three, four.
One sounds hard.
Well, it's just mathematics, Joe. That's what music is all.
And let me guess, now you're going to take that snare pattern and move it to multiple sound sources.
Exactly. Same bass drum, hi-hat, same snare, multiple sound sources. Ooh. On the toms.
Let's hear it.
Here we go. All right, Joe, let's get both hands. Well, let's get one hand off of the snare and move it over to ride cymbal. 16th notes on the ride. The original Latin bass drum hi-hat pattern.
Phew.
And we're going to... And we'll accent the same. We're going to use this five rhythm throughout, it looks like.
Taki-taki. Can you say that again for me? Because I want to just practice that, too.
Taka-taki-ta. 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 Incidentally, Bob Wiener showed me something about this count that's really helpful in counting. You don't have to count taka-taki-ta. The Indians, when they get this down, they count it short-long, short-long. Short, long, short, long. That's the groove we're playing.
One, two, three. One, two, one, two, three.
Yes. Yeah, rather than one, two, one, two, three. Short, long. Ba-ba, ba-ba.
Yep.
So,
you know, that's one of the concepts, one of the hardest concepts I have teaching young people is the idea of duration with drums, you know, regarding to drums, because you look at a half note, when you first teach a student a half note, you hit the attack of the half note, but then you don't do anything but sit there and wait for the rest of those two beats to go by.
Exactly. That's internalizing the groove, man.
Yeah. And learning about those long, just like you're doing, that short, long. Of course, you need to subdivide, you need to be able to count, but I think you need to be able to feel those bigger pauses, those bigger spaces. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Cool. Very good. So, I'm sorry, you were moving that right hand from the snare?
We're taking it off of the snare. We're going to play the 16ths on the ride cymbal now. Same bass drum hi-hat pattern and, of course, the same Indian rhythm.
And can I ask you one more thing to do for me is while this is playing, can you say the short, long, so we can hear that
sure.
in that rhythm?
Great. Sure.
Let's listen to that.
One, two, three, four. Short, long, taka-taki-ta. Okay, Joe, that was 16 notes on the cymbal and same basic Latin pattern. We'll do the same exact thing on this final example with the addition of sound sources, specifically the toms.
Excellent. Well, I have to say, I'm really excited to try out some of these rhythms myself. I know being a drummer, I certainly am. And I hope other musicians besides just drummers take this idea and try to apply it to your own instrument. I also want to have John back so that he can continue talking to us about this idea and maybe give us some time to digest it just a little bit and then take us to the next level.
Sounds like a plan, Stan.
Excellent. We also wanted to talk just a little bit about drummer's health and, again, musician's health in general. And you have some very strong ideas about this, John.
Clearly, I do. years ago, as we talked about earlier today, I was in a little bit of a motorcycle accident when I was a kid, and I injured my back pretty bad. And as of late, it's been coming back to haunt me. So I've come up with one major idea about how to practice and not hurt your back, but actually help your back. I designed a practice pad kit that you can play in the prone position, laying down. So all the strain is completely off of your spine, and you're actually giving your back a rest while you're practicing.
Yeah, and a great idea. And I actually have a photo of this kit up on the website. So make sure you go to jopy.com and click yourself to the JopyCast link, and you'll see John laying down at a kit practicing. And I know the hours that John puts in practicing too, so I think it's important that you are in a position where you're not hurting yourself.
It's a beautiful thing to get done practicing and feel really good when you get done.
Yeah, excellent. And you had another, right, you were talking about, you know, the most important part of your drum set.
Okay, guys, if you're going to spend money on your kit, the most important thing to spend money on is your seat. If you're not comfortable and you're not ergonomically correct, you're totally defeating the purpose. So, guys, spend the money on the seat. Forget about the cheap seat. It's not worth it.
But I need that new crash cymbal so bad.
Forget the crash cymbal. You need the seat.
All right, John, this is where I'm going to have a little fun with you now. We're going to do the Name That Tune segment of the interview. I'm going to play a little bit off my iPod here. I'm putting it in random shuffle. And legally, I'm only supposed to play about 10 seconds of these songs. So as quick as you can, of course. But we'll slip it just a little bit. And here is song number one. Let's see.
Bill Collins?
Good guess. Have you heard of this guy, Michael Ferrante, in Spearhead? No.
Come on, man. Play me something I know, all right?
Here we go. You know this guy. He's got a really good-looking wife. Thank you.
You got a really good-looking wife.
Tell me about it. And she just brought me tea.
She's a really nice wife, too.
Hey, this is the Black Crowes.
Oh, the Black Crowes. Okay. I never listened to the Black Crowes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yes, I do know who this is.
Having a senior moment.
Who's the drummer?
Yeah. Who's the drummer? It's
not Virgil Donati, is it?
No.
No, it's Carmen Appice.
No.
Not John Bonham. Yes, it is. This is Led Zeppelin?
Yes, it is. No quarter.
John Bonham. Okay.
John Bonham. All right, we'll give you that one.
Ooh. Bob Marley.
Pretty close. Sly and Robbie.
Not Bob Marley?
No.
It's, who's the other guy?
It's actually
Ziggy Marley. I love this song too.
I wouldn't know who this is, to be honest, but it's a guest vocalist with Sly and Robbie. Sly and Robbie.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
This is a great song.
Yeah. Like,
so who's drumming?
Drumming, I think, I'm assuming it's Sly Dunbar. I think he's playing drums on this.
Yeah.
And then Gregory Isaacs.
Oh, Greg Isaacs, sing. Yeah.
This is contemporary, new kid.
These are new people?
New people.
Pearl Jam?
Nope. Newer.
He was a boy,
she was a girl. You heard of Avril Lavigne? You know, Avril Lavigne, as much as it's, you know, it's young pop music, it actually has a really good drummer on most of her stuff. I can't think of the guy's name, but he's one of those guys, who's studio guys, who plays on a lot of different albums. And
Jason Bittner?
Nope. Blonde-haired Josh Freese?
Oh, Josh Freese.
Yes.
Yeah, he's like a very up-and-coming, really powerhouse new guy, yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, some of her songs aren't my favorites, but the drumming's always top-notch on this stuff.
Rod.
Sure.
Yeah, and who's playing guitar?
Guitar is Jeff Beck.
Nicely done.
Sky was light and the land all dark. James Taylor.
There you go.
Nice. Steve Gadd playing on, is that the new album?
That
is that October Road?
That was Hourglass.
So that would be a
couple before, right?
Yeah. What's his name? The guy, the drummer that actually is passed not away. With us anymore. Yeah.
Vega?
Carlos Vega, yeah.
Great drummer.
Great
now,
player.
Now, what was the story with it? Did he just pass a natural cause?
No, he actually took his own life.
Oh, my gosh. I thought there was something unusual about that.
Yeah, that's what it is, unfortunately.
You know, you hear that kind of thing with musicians once in a while. Wasn't it the keyboard player from Sting did the same thing?
What's his name?
It was a jazz guy. The jazz guy that was on the first couple Sting albums. I think the same thing happened. They found him in his New York City apartment. And
why?
I don't know. I know. That's what, you know, and why Carlos Vega? He was like...
probably one of the greatest drummers, you know, in that era, and probably would have been one of the greatest drummers as of today.
Yeah.
And he cut it short. That's a real, real bummer.
It's a loss.
Great player. Sounds like the Beatles.
It does a little bit right there, but
It's not.
He is English. Try again.
Or a version of the Beatles.
Hint? A little over 10 seconds here, boys.
John Lennon. That's what it sounds like to me.
Well, you got one name, right? Elton John.
Oh, Tiger. John.
It's from one of my favorite albums, Captain Fantastic and the Rounder Cowboy.
Elton John recently got married.
Yeah, there you go. Rock on to gay marriage,
right,
sweet on.
I
am a bird. He's kind of a new guy.
I recognize the voice, but I don't know. I can't put a name to it.
Ben Folds.
Yeah.
What rock band had a violin in it?
It was Rod Morgenstern played drums in it, and it was, remember?
Of,
Dixie Dregs.
Good guess, my friend, but not Dixie Dregs. This is a little more, instrumental, more...
You're in the wrong era for me.
Phil Ehart is the drummer? No?
It means nothing to me.
Phil, in a, kind of interesting, because it's progressive music, yet he was totally self-taught, didn't read music.
Who's playing the fiddle?
Robbie?
The guy that was in the Dregs?
I don't think
like
so.
A little bit.
Yeah, but what's unusual is Steve Morse, the guitar player from the Dregs, played in this band for a while.
Interesting.
Yes, very interesting. Cool. Kansas. Kansas?
This is Kansas?
Yep.
Yeah. All obscure stuff, Joe. You don't play like...
Last one. Here you go. Oh, you know this guy.
Sounds like Dave Weckl. Not Dave Weckl, though.
This is not Dave Weckl. To be honest, I don't know.
Sounds like his tone.
Really great funk playing that.
Yep.
That's killer.
You know this stuff. Garibaldi played with them, but I don't think he's on this album.
It's Tower of Power?
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah, it is.
Why didn't you play She's Still a Young Man or something, you know?
That would have been too easy. Okay, time for the lightning round. Are you ready?
Go.
Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Wine or beer?
Wine.
Automatic or standard?
Automatic.
TiVo or VCR?
VCR.
McDonald's or Subway?
Subway.
Sweet, dude. Thank you. I had a blast hanging out with John, as I always do. Coco will be back to share some more insights on his exploration of Indian rhythms and how he applies them to Western rhythms. Very, very cool. Hey, listen, I have just a couple things I want to let you know about some upcoming shows and upcoming festivals. The first is on Sunday, March 5th. It's the Five College Jazz Festival. Events include a jazz clinic, open rehearsal, a concert featuring Debbie Whites and local jazz musicians, and jazz combos from Smith, Amherst, Williams, and UMass. For more information, call 413-585-3150, and I will have that information up on the Jopicast link. On Monday, March 6th, Solas at the Iron Horse Music Hall. This is acclaimed by many as the most exciting Irish traditional group in the world. Solas are masters of tradition, yet transcend musical category. That sounds very, very cool. Also, Tuesday, March 7th, Anthony B. and Soul Majestic are at the Pearl Street Nightclub, and that starts at 8:30. Anthony B. is the living personification of African consciousness in reggae. His single, Na Vote Again, was a major factor in keeping the Jamaican elections of 1997 peaceful. Like his hero, Peter Tosh, he's an uncompromising pan-Africanist in the tradition of Marcus Mosiah Garvey. That sounds like another great show. Also, don't forget, Saturday, March 18th, Sam Kinnaker Band at Bishop's Lounge with drummer, my new favorite drummer, Nikki Glaspie. I will be there dancing my tail off. Well, by golly, that brings us to the end of another JopiCast. I can't believe it's over. Be sure to visit Jopi.com to find all the links mentioned in today's podcast. Also, be sure to get out and support local music. Thanks for listening. Smell you later. This week's episode powered by Stash Green Tea. Tea. Green tea. Good for you.